through understanding the Holy Spirit. We talked about He is a distinct personality. He is not a force. He's not like magnetism or gravity. He is a being, just like the Father, just like the Son. He makes decisions. He makes choices. He can be grieved. His job is love, unity, harmony. That's what the Holy Spirit does, is join things together, because that's what love does. The Holy Spirit, God, is the provider, the protector, the authority. Jesus Christ is His Word that makes it known to us. And the Holy Spirit is what joins them together. When Jesus Christ came up from the water and John the Baptist baptized Him, it was the Holy Spirit that came down and joined Jesus Christ and God as one. Jesus said, "You see Me, you see the Father." If we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, which we do because of baptism, you bear the old body, God wipes away sin, the Holy Spirit indwells you. And if we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we look just like Jesus Christ. That's what Christianity is all about. Now we're down to what the Holy Spirit does when it indwells you. It does not possess you. It does not command you. It does not take over. Love can't be legislated. Love can't be law. Love has to be wanted. So when the Holy Spirit comes, it starts off and it produces fruit. We talked about how churches go out there, and all the other religions and churches and denominations, they all go out and they go and take the fruits of good works, and they take their own self-will and self-help or effort, and they tie all these good works to their dead branches out there. And that fruit rots off, and they have to go out and find another ministry, another preacher, and more elders. More money, more buildings. They always have to add more and more fruits to their dead branches, and it all rots and falls off. We're the opposite. It's natural. The fruits of the Holy Spirit grow from us naturally. The Holy Spirit is changing us. We talked 2 weeks ago that the world starts at the wrong end. The world thinks that self-control is the key. Commitment, devotion. It's you controlling yourself to obey God, and that's what leads to love. Nonsense. There's nobody that can do it. We've already done that one. Last week we started with love, and I told you love is not emotion. We use the word love for four different words in Greek. Phileo is the emotion, brotherhood, affection. That's not it. And it's not storge, where you have family bond. That's not it. Eros, which is erotic stuff. That's not it. Agape. Agape is a decision. Agape is something you decide to do no matter how you feel. That's why Jesus Christ said, "I command you to love your neighbor." You can't command affection. Right, Elsie?
Right.
You can't command somebody to feel something, to feel affection. That's nonsense. Jesus never said that. He said, agape. He said, make the decision, no matter how you feel about somebody, that you're going to show them love. Sacrificial, unconditional, selfless love. That's what God wants for us to show the world, because that's what He looks like. So we started with love, and it's a decision to treat somebody like they're your best friend, even though they've made you angry. If the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, if I'm showing patience with somebody, how do I feel about them, Elsie? Did you have to have patience up north?
Oh, my word, yes.
Did you exercise patience with some of the people up north?
Uh-huh.
So what does that mean about how they're making you feel?
I get it because I had to.
What they're doing is making you feel like you want to just pop them one.
Yes.
Patience is doing the opposite of how you feel. That's the whole point of this. Christianity is a decision to act in a way that is opposite of how we feel. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to do that. Nothing we've ever done. We don't have self-control yet. So we started with love. Selfless, sacrificial. Matter of fact, Jesus said, "Greater love you can't have than to give your life for a friend." What more can you sacrifice other than your life? So there can't be greater love. So love is a decision to put the other person first, no matter how you feel about it. It's a decision to sacrifice what you want in order for them to have what they need, no matter how you feel about it. That's the love that the Holy Spirit brings out in us. It is not our nature. We are the exact opposite. We like people who like us. We don't like people who don't like us. We like people who are good to us. We don't like people who are not good to us. That is not Christianity. Christianity is turning the other cheek, going the extra mile, and loving your enemy and doing good to those who do evil to you because you choose to. And we'll get the reason why you choose to when we're done with this. So we did love. And when you sacrifice yourself, self is the little monster in all of us that's complaining and angry and frustrated and always never has enough and is always blaming other people. That self in us is that little monster. Once you show love and you're selfless, you put self away, you don't have all the anger and frustration. You don't have all the temper and grudges. Once you take that monster of self and put it away and let love start to come out, all the things that self and selfishness bring out go away, or they begin to fade, and then you start to feel joy for the first time. Joy. And I don't mean pleasure, and I don't mean just happiness, because those things come and go. Joy. Joy is more something that fills you up. The less of yourself that God can get out of you, the more of His joy He can put into you. That's why that's the next thing. Love denies self and puts the other person first. Therefore, the less self you have, that little monster of selfish, that greedy little monster that wants everything, the less self you have in control of your life, the less anger and frustration and irritation and all the bad things, they start to fade, and the more you can feel the joy of actual living for God. Joy. Y'all ever felt joy? I know you did because you went and saw a little baby up north, right?
But I also had self-control.
Yeah. You practice patience. But that feeling when you saw that infant, yeah. When you saw it, and you feel that...
That four-year-old made my name.
Yeah. That's joy. Where there is no limitation. The possibilities are endless. There's no limit. It's just something that just fills you up. That's what joy is. The less self you have controlling your life, the more joy you can have in your life. And so the more you practice, the more you let the Holy Spirit bring love out to you, which is selfless, the more joy, that feeling like there's anything is possible. Everything's going to work out. Nothing can hurt me if God is my Father. That's joy. Now once you feel this joy, you're going to have the next thing, peace. Once you self is put away, once you're not selfish but selfless, and you feel that joy, that excitement that anything is possible and God's in control, then you have peace. If I put that little monster self away, then I'm not at odds with anybody. I'm not pointing my finger and I'm not irritated. I'm not saying, you took what belongs to me. You don't give me what respect I deserve. And you're making life hard. All that's gone. I have that joy. And once you have that joy, you don't want to lose it. And the way you don't lose it is you make peace. Everybody that's ever hurt you. Anybody here that's ever been hurt by another person? Everybody? Put it away. If you want peace, if that love, that joy, if you want that to grow, you have to put that stuff away. Love keeps no record of wrong. Well, that means they got away with it, Elsie. I can't let them get away with it.
That's the way I have it.
Well, if God is in heaven, how many people are going to get away with anything? You guys understand that? Once love starts to grow in your life and you feel that joy, that limitless idea that everything's going to work out and brotherhood, you have peace. You make peace with this world. You know that if God is in heaven and God says, vengeance is mine, how many people are actually going to get away with anything they do? It's not going to happen. If you see somebody abusing somebody, if you see somebody taking advantage of somebody, if you see somebody lying or cheating, manipulating, all that stuff, Are they going to get away with it?
No.
No. What if they don't get caught, Elsie?
They still have to pay that. They become tax law.
God says, I will take vengeance. God can take vengeance a lot better than any of you can ever think of. So make peace. If someone's hurting you right now, make peace with it in your mind. Tell God, He's all yours. She's all yours. They are all yours. Father, I have you, and I want peace in my life. Once you get to this peace, once you feel that cessation of againstness, you're not against anybody. You're for. You want other people to win. You know God's going to take care of you, so that selfishness is gone and you're selfless. Let me do, what can I do for you? Once you make peace, once the fights and feuds and all that stuff is gone, love wants to make the other person feel that joy and that peace. And it grows. So once you have love and it brings you that feeling of joy makes everything limitless, that self is gone and you want to make peace with everybody as much as it's on you. Once you have all that, how do you keep the peace? What's the next one?
Patience.
How hard is that one? Yeah, we can decide. In our mind, we can decide to be at peace with our neighbor. We can decide to be at peace. The people living downstairs from you, Micah, they can decide to be at peace.
Especially our housing director.
Yeah.
Mr. Stain.
Yeah, you can decide to be at peace with them. But the only way you're going to keep that peace, somebody's going to have some patience. And you have to choose to do it. Right? And the only reason I have patience is the other person is irritating me. I'm feeling irritation. I'm feeling anger. I'm feeling temper. I'm feeling like I want to get even. I'm feeling like I'm about to lose my mind. But God says, no, love your enemy. Feel the joy of doing things the right way. Make peace with them. And now the next one is patience. Patience, patience. I am going to get along with you no matter how hard you make it. Ever had that feeling, Elsie?
Mm-hmm.
With family members?
Just the one.
Yeah. So you tell God, all right, I'm going to get along with this person.
I did.
No matter how idiotic, stupid, and selfish they are, I'm going to maintain the peace so I can continue the joy of living for God and I can feel His love in my life and keep putting self to death. I am going to get along with you. Now, can we do that through self-control or do we have to have supernatural Holy Spirit? Wow.
That's patience.
That's it. Yeah. Well, yeah, but this is something you develop by exercising these things. Patience is number one because we are not patient people. We want people to get out of my way. Stop holding me up. Don't ask me. I'm busy. That's us. Y'all are driving down the road and you got that little slowpoke in front of you and you're late for work. Ah! Huh? Yeah. Patience. So, the Holy Spirit is going to produce this, not you. We lose our temper. The Holy Spirit is producing love, which takes away self. That gives you that joy of feeling that anything is possible with God's help, which brings you peace to everybody. And to keep that peace, the Holy Spirit says, turn the other cheek. Be patient. Go the extra mile. Be patient. Give it to them. And don't expect anything back, even a thank you. God will take care of this. This is how you show God you trust Him. By being patient with the knuckleheads. Because there's a bunch of them out there. This is how you show God, I'm going to trust you that you're going to take care of this situation. I'm going to turn the other cheek. I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to give generously expecting nothing in return, not even a thank you. I'm not going to keep a record of wrongs. I'm just going to let it all go. I'm going to keep my peace, which is filled with the joy of limitless, you know, everything's possible with God because you put love in my life. Now, once you decide, I'm going to be peaceful, I'm going to be patient, how do you show that patience to the knuckleheads and idiots? What's the next one? Alright? You can decide to be patient with your housing director. But how do you show it? You're going to have to show him kindness. Your tone when you speak to him is respectful. Your attitude is respectful. Yes or no, sir. When he's being an idiot, you kill him with kindness. You guys got it?
Yes, sir.
This is how it works. This is how you show God, I trust you. And this is the Holy Spirit producing this in you. It is not our nature. It's the opposite of our nature. But once you've decided to show kindness to somebody who absolutely does not deserve it, do you think they will notice when you do that? They sure will. When someone is used to living their life with dog eat dog, when they're used to biting people and trying and people biting them back, when they go out there and they bark and they bite and they growl, and you say, hey, it's fine. No problem. We have it. And you're kind to them, that stops them short. What is this? What is this? I don't understand. Every other time I treat people like this, they lose their temper. I get to control them. You guys understand what anger does? If your housing director can make you angry, then he's in control. You understand that? What? That's exactly right. Kindness. Because that keeps you in control. And if you're in control, God can work through you. That's why you're working your way to this. You don't have it yet. But when somebody can make you angry, they have taken control of your life. They have taken the handle and they can turn you any way they want because they made you angry and you lost your temper. You're going to do things you shouldn't do, and you knew you shouldn't do it, but you did it anyway. You're going to say things you shouldn't say. You're going to have actions that you shouldn't do. You're going to do everything you shouldn't do because they're controlling you because you got angry. You understand that? So, kindness is how you show patience. You decide to turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, then you show them your tone, the way you speak. You're respectful, you're quiet, you're calm. And they will notice that. They will blink and go, this is different. I've had that happen. You know, people come up and go, you're different. You know, I've never seen anything like that. Why are you different? I said, let me tell you. Evangelism is walking the walk before you ever talk the talk. So once you show kindness, once kindness becomes a character trait that people know you for. You know that person, they're kind to people that don't deserve it. Something's going on. They begin to see the light of Jesus Christ. Because this world is unkind. This world is impatient, cruel, mean. This world does not understand love, has no love in it. This world is dark. And if you're kind and patient to someone who absolutely does not deserve it and they know it, they will start to see a glimmer of light they've never seen before. And it's that fruit of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit's bringing out in you. And people talk about sowing the seeds of the kingdom. You go out there and sow the seeds of the gospel. Where is the seed in anything? It's inside the food. You guys understand that? Everybody thinks you just go out there and you make the church one big mouth. Jesus Christ does it. No, no, no. All the seed that will change people's lives, it's in the fruit. That's evangelism. Evangelism is letting God take that selfishness in you, that little monster of self, slowly putting it to death. Feeling that joy that God's in control and anything is possible. Making peace with everybody. Showing that peace by patience to people who absolutely do not deserve it. And being kind. to the rude, arrogant idiots out there. And that's going to make people notice. And they start to see that glimmer. And they like that fruit. This is great. And that's how the seed gets in people's lives. That's how you change people's lives. So once you start showing kindness to somebody, what kind of reputation do you start to get? What's the next one? You know, I got the good guy. Now, do they say that about people that get angry and lose their temper and turn red-faced and scream and holler and always have to have their way? That's a good guy. Do they? Who do they say that about? They say that about people who show kindness when kindness is certainly not justified. Patience to people who deserve no patience because they want to keep the peace that they have in their lives because they love the joy of God being in control and anything is possible because God's filling them with love, selfless, self-sacrificial love. Goodness. Once you start showing, once you have that selfless love and you feel the joy of God being in control and anything's possible and you make peace with everybody and you start showing patience to those people to show them that you've decided to be at peace with them and you're kind to people, you know, expecting nothing in return, you're kind to people who don't deserve it, people start saying, you know what? That's a good guy. That's a good girl. That's a good lady. That's a really good person. They start to notice. This is evangelism. Not knocking doors. That's one side of it. But that's the worst possible way. That's drawing targets on people and shooting. See if you hit them. That's nonsense. This is evangelism. There's something different about that person. The world doesn't control them like it controls me and all my friends. There's something good about that person I don't see anywhere else. Now you've got people's attention. They start to see something in this world they don't see anywhere else. That's Christianity. Once you get to that part, once the Holy Spirit starts producing all the way down to where people go, that's a good guy. He doesn't lose his temper. You know, I've had people just scream in his face. And he keeps his temper. He's always calm. He always has a kind word. They give you the shirt off his back. That's a good guy. Now they see something. They see something different. And they're going to test it. Isn't this what people do? People want them to think, you're the same as me. Don't think, you Church of Christ people, don't think you're any different than anybody else. You're all a bunch of hypocrites, just like everybody else. This is how the world thinks. So when you try to live the Christian life and you show love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and people start thinking you're good, they're going to test you. The people are going, I'm about to bring them down. They're getting all high and mighty. I'm going to show you that person's just like everybody else. And they start to aggravate you just to see what happens. When the devil sees you growing the fruit of the Spirit and shining the light of God, what has he got to do? He's got to stop it. And he's got lots and lots of people full of hate and anger and temper. And he's going to test you. Satan's going to try to stop this. He's going to take you back down to where you return evil for evil. And you give people a piece of your mind. And you lose your... He's going to get you back down so you don't show people God in this world. So, Satan starts to test your resolve. Well, yeah, you know, I shouldn't speak, you know, foreign language. I shouldn't tell dirty jokes. But once I'm at work, you know, they're going to think I'm weird if I don't laugh at the vulgarity, if I don't go drinking, if I'm not one of the guys. So, Satan snuffs that light out. Snuffs it out. All of a sudden, you're talking like you used to. You're doing the things you're used to, and he wins. And you got there's self is all back. That little monster of self is back, and all your joy is gone. All the peace is gone. You're living life you were before. Satan's got to stop this goodness. So he's going to start sending people to aggravate you. He's going to start making circumstances look bad. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your car's going to break. All this stuff's going to happen. It's like Job. God said, look at Job. Isn't he great? Satan says, well, yeah, he's great because you give him everything. Take away anything, he'll turn on you. God said, go for it. So when he says, look at Elsie, isn't she great? Looks just like Jesus Christ. Well, Satan says, well, yeah, because you give her everything. Let me have a shot at her. God said, go for it. And he? And Satan thrown some your way? Using your own family, your own friends, just to see, will you be faithful to that idea of goodness to people who don't deserve it, and kindness to people that don't deserve it, patience for people who absolutely don't deserve it. And Satan's going to test you to snuff that light out. And when he can't do it, because if the Holy Spirit is influencing your life, you can't stop it. When you people test you and they test your resolve and circumstances test your resolve and things go wrong and you have catastrophes in your life and you just you're calm and everything's going to be fine and you don't show any worry and you don't show any anxiety and God's in control, oh my goodness. They thought you were there was something special about you when they saw something good in you. That, when they see faithfulness to the idea of selfless love and God's in control, you turn the spotlight on. You're showing Satan that he's going to run. You're showing them that God's in control. Because when you're faithful to God, when you do it His way, and He starts blessing your life, and these people go, how did that happen? Why does this guy, why does everything happen? Why does he get all this good stuff? Why does all the good things happen to him? Why is he always calm, always happy? Why does everything go his way? Well, because I'm faithful to what God wants me to do. God's faithful to His promises. I'll give you, bless you, overflowing. When they see this faithfulness, they start to respect. They might not believe Christianity. They might not believe in God or Jesus Christ or any of that stuff. But they will have a respect for the way you live your life. Have you guys seen this out in the world? I've seen this. Where someone that allows the Holy Spirit to teach them selfless, self-sacrificial love, loving your enemy and turning the other cheek, and they feel that joy of God's in control, and anything is possible, and they make peace with everyone, even their worst enemy, they make peace, and they show patience and kindness and goodness, and then Satan tests them. Well, I bet you I can make them lose their temper. I bet you I can make them curse and tell dirty jokes. I bet you I can make them do the wrong thing and lie and cheat. I bet you. When you don't, when that selfish monster is still put away by the Holy Spirit and you show faithfulness to the way you're supposed to live a life, boom. The world respects you. May not believe you, but you have respect. They know you're for real. All right? And that's the Holy Spirit doing this, not you. It's the Holy Spirit causing all this to happen. Once they see faithfulness, once they stop testing you, what's next on the list? Gentleness. Once you pass that test of faithfulness, you keep doing it God's way in spite of anything Satan throws at you. And God pulls you through and makes everything work out over and over and over. Well, then what do you have to worry about? Why do you have to be anxious or frustrated? The next thing is gentleness. You can be gentle with people who do not deserve it. You can be gentle with your worst enemy. You can be gentle with people who are rude to you, curse in your face, spit at you, throw things at you. When Jesus Christ was being nailed to the cross, what did He say?
Forgive them.
Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And the way it's written in Greek is that He continually said it. He didn't say it once. The whole time they were nailing Him, hanging Him up, and spitting on Him. Every time they did something, He'd say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And the thief on the cross saw this was what He was doing. And the thief on the cross said, you're it. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. You are for real. When you can show gentleness in spite of the worst circumstances, I think nailing you to pieces of wood is pretty bad. So like Jesus Christ, when you can show gentleness, You will take the most hardened criminal. And the thief on the cross was a guilty, hardened criminal. You will take the hardest heart and you can change it. God can change it through your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness toward people who are being awful towards you. And the hardest heart can be changed and say, that's for real. I want to know this kingdom. I want to be part of this kingdom. Now, there were two thieves. The other thief didn't make a bit of difference. So, is everybody going to be changed when the Holy Spirit produces all this in you? No. But the hardest heart can be changed when you allow this to happen in your life and you get down where you're gentle with people who are rude and angry and pushing and shoving and trying to hurt you. When you're gentle with them, you're going to change people. The Holy Spirit, by doing this in your life, is shining God's light, and you are going to make people different through God's power working in you. And once you get to all this, guess what the final result is? Once you've been living like this, and every time you start to lose your temper, you show patience, and you build up your ability to be patient. And that kindness, you build up your ability to show kindness and not worry about what it's going to cost you because God's going to take care of everything. And people see you as, so that's a good guy. And he's good no matter what happens. He's always a good guy. And then you faithfulness to the idea of how you live a Christian. Gentleness to the worst people. Then you get to self-control. And it's something the Holy Spirit produces in you by going through this list every single day. Year after year after year, the Holy Spirit tries to make you a little less selfish and a little more selfless and loving toward people. And you have a little more of that joy that God's in control and anything is possible. Therefore, I'm going to be at peace with everybody. I'm not against anybody. God will take His vengeance. God's going to handle it. I'm going to be patient with everybody, no matter what they do to me. I'm going to show kindness, no matter what they do to me. And I'm going to have goodness as a character trait that people see in my life, no matter what the circumstances. And I'm going to be faithful to that idea. When I tell people I'm going to do something, I am faithful to my word. I am faithful to God and living the Christian life, and I'm going to show them. And I become gentle, like Jesus Christ was gentle, and then I have self-control. And once you go through all these fruits of the Spirit, does the world look at you and go, there's something going on here. This is not possible. I knew that person before he became part of that church. And I see that person now. And that's two different people. When the Holy Spirit produces Christ living in you and people see that you are not the person you were before, that's evangelism. Once they see you walk that walk, they will say, I want to hear you talk the talk. How is this possible? How is it possible that someone like you, and I knew you, how is it possible that someone like you is the way you are now? Kind, gentle, patient, good, faithful, self-control. No matter what happens in your life, you always, hey, everything's going to work out, everything's fine. How did this happen? Then you get to tell them, God did it, not me. That's the difference between Christianity and religion. Religion starts at self-control and they say, I did it. You understand? My devotion, my commitment, my good works, my door knocking, my Bible study, my understanding. Religion starts at self-control and they say, I did it. God, look at all the wonderful works we did for you. And Jesus says, depart from me, worker of iniquity. I never knew you. The Holy Spirit flips it upside down. The Holy Spirit starts with love. To put yourself to death. That's what baptism is all about. You're going to take self and you're going to bury it. And when you rise up, you're no longer an individual. You're part of a group. You belong to a body of Christ. And every day you put self to death, every single day. And self's going to fight. Self is going to bite, scratch, and kick. Because self's not going to go down easy. Self is going to bite, scratch, kick, curse. Self wants what it wants, and it'll hurt you to do it. But if you let love, the Holy Spirit, produce selfless love in your life, and that love will produce joy that God's in control, anything's possible, you want to be patient with peace with everybody, you start showing patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and then God puts self-control in you. And no matter what Satan can do, and he can do a lot, Satan has a world out there at his disposal, and he hates you with a passion you cannot understand. Because he's in his position. Because he would not bow down before man. God said, man has dominion on earth. And Satan said, absolutely not. I will not bow down to an inferior being. I will not bow down to man. And now he's in the position where you have self-control. And he throws temptation at you, and anger, and temper, and trouble, and worry, and fear. He throws it all at you. And in self-control and goodness and patience and kindness, you say, get out of here. God's going to handle everything. And not only does he not only does he have to bow down to you, he has to run from you. Resist the Satan, resist the devil, and he runs. He wouldn't bow down. Now you can speak, and he will run in fear because God's talking through you. Get lost. You guys understand what the Holy Spirit does now? The Holy Spirit does everything. You bury yourself in baptism. You rise up as part of this group. You love your neighbor. Love your brethren. You let the Holy Spirit bring that love out. Selfless. Put that monster self to death every day. You'll feel the joy that God's in control. Anything's possible. You will want to be at peace with the people that have hurt you. I don't want to get even. I don't want vengeance. God, take everything. Peace. I just want peace. And you will show patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and you will develop self-control. And when you tell Satan to get lost, he will run. Because the Holy Spirit is producing his fruit in you. Nothing you do. You choose to let him do it through you. Everybody understand what the Holy Spirit does to a Christian? Because you choose to do this, the Holy Spirit can have you stand up and Satan fall down on his face and then run like a little kid. That's the power that God put in your life if you choose it. Alright? Now, next week we'll talk about risk and trust. We're going to talk about this is what the Holy Spirit will do if you choose to let it. Why are you going to choose to let it? That's what we're going to talk about next week. Any questions, comments, corrections? Everybody understand this? How easy is this? Simple stuff. Simple stuff. Can we do anything for anybody? Does anybody need anything? Anybody wants to share any news? Right. Can you pray for Penny's situation? God's in control. He's going to handle this. Keep Penny and kids in your prayers. Anything else? Everybody good? Okay, Micah, you got a song?
Page 589. First Thursday for this song.
Save and secure our
y'all going hands up in the aisle.